Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Thank all of my new subscribers. I'd like to give a shout out to Brian Young at High Impact Flicks, and also Adam Green at No More News. And there's so many more that I could thank for helping my website and my channel increase in its size and scope. Folks, we are going to be trying to get some new equipment, do some things. So if you could go to rtrtruthmedia.com, smash the PayPal button. Or you can go to the High Impact Flicks link here and buy yourself an incredibly politically incorrect shirt. That would help big time. It will take you here in just the shirts and the incredible messages on some of these things. I have some favorites. Let me see if I can get to show you one of my favorites real quick. Oh, there's my favorite one right there. That's my favorite one right there. So, anyway, folks, I hope you like this video. It's going to kind of tick you off a bit, but you know, we need to start standing up for what's right. I'd like to start out this video by first thanking Tina Davidson for bringing this to my attention. This next story should have your blood boiling. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what political ideology you are. In America, we're supposed to have the freedom of speech and the freedom of association. This next story is going to make you mad if you have a pulse, if you believe in the concept of freedom. It should make you very angry. Let me first say about Glenn Greenwald, who put this article out on The Intercept. I don't agree with a good portion of Glenn's positions. However, I find his information on many occasions to be factual and very valuable. So when I share people's work, it doesn't mean that I subscribe to their entire ideology or everything they believe in. However, this story is absolutely accurate. It's a problem. So let's get to the meat and potatoes. So here we have a Texas elementary school speech pathologist refused to sign a pro-Israel oath, now mandatory in many states. Get that? Mandatory. So she lost her job. This should scare the hell out of people. This woman has worked with the developmentally disabled, autistic, and speech-impaired elementary school students in Austin, Texas. That's the home area of my broadcast network. This makes me absolutely fuming mad. And she had to agree that she would not, does not, will not engage in a boycott of Israel or otherwise take any action that is intended to inflict economic harm on a foreign nation. If politicians could only defend us and make Google sign the similar thing so that it won't take part in any kind of economic harm on us as it's done, committing acts of economic terrorism by killing people who are trying to tell the truth. But this is a foreign nation, and this is political speech, right? Thought your political speech was, it's part of freedom. Anyway, she was prepared to sign this contract. 9 years she's worked for this school district. She was prepared to sign her contract renewal until she noticed one new and extremely significant addition, a certification that she was required to sign pledging that she does not currently boycott Israel and that she will not boycott Israel during the term of the next contract. What if she wanted to boycott the UK? I guess that would be okay, though, even though they're our ally. Here's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. This should send a chill, a shudder up your spine. This is the kind of stuff that they did in the Soviet Union. So this Texas law pursuant to section 2270-001, another squiggly piece of writing on paper that just completely is Orwellian. Texas government code, the contractor affirms that it does not currently boycott Israel and will not boycott Israel during the term of the contract. Then it goes on to define boycotting Israel and what defining company is, and then you have to basically sign this thing. But this was, this whole BDS movement was modeled after the boycott of South African apartheid. And there's many Jews that are a part of this. In America, you can do what you want with your money, right?
Right.
Wrong. Political parasites can, but you can't. So, just, this is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing to me.
But I would be forefront for an issue or for a cause. I'm not a major activist, no. I'm not. I'm a busy mom of four kids. For me, it was like an opportunity for me to do something because my kids were watching me, first of all. And I always tell my kids, when you see something wrong, you have to fix it. I'm a speech language pathologist. I have been contracting with the Pflugerville Independent School District for about 9 years now. What was unique about my position was that I spoke Arabic, so we were able to correctly evaluate kids who came in with Arabic as a language. I love my job a lot. I've always wanted to be in a job that was in the service field because I know I'm making a difference. This year, I got a new contract with new compliances, and I came across one that shocked me. The point of boycotting any products that supports Israel is to put pressure on the Israeli government to change its treatment, the inhumane treatment of the Palestinian people. Having grown up as a Palestinian, I know firsthand the oppression and the struggle that Palestinians face on a daily basis. I have to set an example for my kids. We got to stand up for what's the justice and for right and equal opportunity for everybody and humane conditions. And so for me, it was an easy decision in that aspect. I could not sign it. I was forced to depart from my job because I will not sign it, and I cannot return back if I don't sign it. I have been here in the States for over 30 years. I'm an American citizen. I follow the law. And so I have a luxury of having these rights, which many people It's baffling that they can throw this down our throats, and decide to protect another country's economy versus protect our constitutional rights. I knew that I had to do something because I knew it's going to affect more than just me. It may affect also my kids. So I knew that something had to be done and I couldn't just let it pass by.
You can see that and read it for yourself at The Intercept, and the links will be provided for you. Now, I was always under the impression that spending money in politics is part of our cherished freedom of speech, even though I believe that the original 13th Amendment would have prevented political parasitism. But you're right to either spend your money or not to spend your money. That was always, understood to be your decision to make, not the decision to make of political parasites and state corporations or state governments. This is the most anti-American. Now, this lady is proud to be an American. She's standing for American values. She's embracing what it is to be an American, and all of my fellow conservatives out there that would take it, I know that some of them out there, oh, she's a Muslim. Oh, God. When you're willing to allow rights to be taken from somebody because they have beliefs that differ from yours, yours will be next. I don't know what people don't get with that. This is a serious problem. when you allow conditions to be placed upon something that you call freedom, you have schizophrenic thinking. When conditions apply, it's no longer free. And don't you dare sit there and say that you're proud to live in a free country. Look, you may even disagree with this BDS thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened to the mindset, I may not agree with you, but I'll fight for your right to be able to say or do it. Freedom of speech, freedom of association. I'm ashamed of Texas that they would allow this. And it wasn't just this, it was during the hurricane too. Yep, Texas City refuses to give people hurricane aid unless they pledge not to boycott Israel. You know what I call that hurricane? I call that Hurricane Israel. Americans, you better start waking up. You seriously, when they have to exert the power of the state to stop you from freely associating, advocating, not advocating, speaking, not speaking, spending, not spending, you no longer live in a free country. You might as well live in a Bolshevik state. Ladies and gentlemen, this should outrage you. Now, we all should know by now, at least for those of you that don't, that the U.S. Supreme Court decision that allows corporations to secretly give unlimited money to candidates through super PACs was referred to as Citizens United. The court ruled that not allowing corporations to give the money violates their free speech rights, which are the same as for the people. Well, if they have the right to give, then they also have the right not to give. Okay. It's really rather simple, but the hypocrisy with this Texas law is so thick. It's absolutely so thick. I mean, our founders were kind of clear on what they thought about corporate power, and this is what basically the state is acting as a corporation. And it's a limiting people and their speech. But you know where this came from? After the 14th Amendment that this says it was ratified in 1868, I can prove that it was not ratified lawfully, and this is why it was significantly expanded civil rights protections. That was the guise, because see, this is what when the 14th Amendment was passed, the first many times that it was used, and it has been used time and time again after, was to empower corporations. So the lawyers for the Southern Pacific Railroad tried to use it to avoid a tax assessed by the Santa Clara County, California Southern Pacific. Said it was a Southern Pacific said it was a person under the 14th Amendment. The tax on railroad property was not equal because it was not assessed to other persons, which violated its rights. The court ruled in favor, as they knew that it would, because that was the real reason the 14th Amendment was passed. It was not passed to empower people or protect them. As a matter of fact, that jurisdiction is the jurisdiction that most federal agencies stand upon all out into the states. So that amendment that everybody likes to cloud as giving us rights and freedoms and all of this did nothing of the sort. It did not. What it did was it empowered government. It expanded the size and scope of government. Some people even call it the Red or Communist Amendment. And now it's no surprise to me that we've descended down that slippery slope. It just makes me sick. Well, I hope you got something out of this video, folks. Please share, like, subscribe, share it with everybody you can. And we need to start breaking free of this whole left-right paradigm stuff. We need to start supporting people for the principles and the values of freedom and freedom alone. Don't forget, smash it at RTR Truth Media. Thank you, guys. Love to you.
Oh, how awesome is that? That's just great. We have an entire state mobilizing against its citizens on behalf of a foreign state. Anyway, folks, I've been working with Adam Green of the No More News and Brian Young of High Impact Flicks. By the way, a good piece of news is that after many, many months, his main channel with 500,000 subscribers has just been freed up. He just got it back without warning, without fanfare, without so much as an email. It's just back. We've been on them pretty hard, pummeling YouTube from every angle, complaining about this stuff. But he's the first one out of us that had his main channel terminated and it brought back. So that's a blessing. But we're doing a lot of work to build an online audience. We're building with a group of friends a website. I'm up every morning. I'm working all day long, and I hope you guys don't mind that the product that I make, I share with you. I'm here while I share it. So it also enables me to go into the comments and the chat room. I'd like to start using the chat room more often at resurrectorepublic.chattango.com. We're also working on, we're going to be making a Discord server and another area that we can do live streams and live stream the content that we create and possibly accept donations in real time, much like YouTube. But YouTube has me right now in monetary hold. My channel is not monetized, and I really don't want Google making money anyway. I'd rather keep it that way. To heck with them. It took me 6 years to build up a decent income coming in, and then I'll never trust them again. But there's a couple other methods that we're using. We really do need your support to be able to do this, because the censorship, man, I'm telling you that we are fighting back against stuff that's been unleashed, algorithms that are shutting us down. You know, we work hard at doing what we do. And if you haven't, if anybody's listening that hasn't been to the RTR Truth Media channel on YouTube or BitChute, and we're going to be on a couple other platforms too. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're still on iTunes. I'm kind of surprised that we're still there, but so anyway, if you go to rtrtruthmedia.com and smash that PayPal button, because you know people need to be doing what we're doing and calling them out on every level as to what's going on, especially with this research that I've been digging into. I think it's really important. A lot of other people do too. It's making its way around. So we could use your support. Now, Adam and I did a live stream together. We couldn't live stream on either his or my main channel because we both have One Strike Apiece, which I can't wait until we just get off of Google altogether. We're working on that. We are actively working on that. But we did a live stream where we discussed a lot of these things, and I want to share that with you tonight. Mike, if you can, roll. Adam Green, No More News, RTR Truth Media.
You're watching No More News.
Hello, Adam Green here with No More News on No More News 2. Doing my maiden voyage live stream on No More News 2 because the other day, yesterday, I got a strike on my main channel. So thanks everybody for making it over here. It is December 15th, 2018, and tonight I am joined with Tom from RTR Truth Media, Tom LaCovera Stewart. Hey Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Adam. Good to be with you.
They can't keep us down despite the strikes. The good thing we had the backup channel, and thanks to our good friend High Impact Vlogs, formerly High Impact Flicks. He put the message out about the channel and the censorship. So he helped get some subs over to No More News too. So hopefully we're reaching some people still.
No, he did the same thing with me. I can't thank him enough. I mean, he's just been a big help, and he's really appreciated both of our work too. So that's, I mean, there's that. He loves the work. So,
mm-hmm. So big thanks. Brian over at High Impact Flicks had his channel taken down. recently. It had over 500,000 subs earlier this year. It got pulled down, and he's back up to 140 now. But he did a video about the latest censorship. Where was it? Mm-hmm. Please share. We must stand together or we're done, which is absolutely truth. You know, I've been blowing the whistle, sounding the alarm whenever somebody else has some censorship. So I'm glad to see the support.
Yeah. Yeah. It's refreshing. I'm watching your live sub count creep up right now, and mine just shot up incredibly thanks to, you know, when we all stand together, then we're all going to do better together anyway. So, mm-hmm. and a lot of the guys that I've been networking with and that you have all feel the same. It's time for us to really stop mm-hmm. just on our little, you know, our own thing and all really come together.
Yeah, I've always known it, but we really need to just get away from YouTube and Google, and we got to start boycotting Google and the monopoly of Google and just take our business elsewhere.
I have some ideas about that, and you know, I've talked to you about it, but mm-hmm. there's several things that they've done, especially the troll attack that engaged you, and what they did to you was really it's a coordinated cyber attack, which is against the law and as far as the federal codes are concerned. Now, I know that these are laws, but we need to start using these laws against them. Mm-hmm. They interrupted the flow of interstate commerce. By doing so, they've caused you financial harm. By doing so, so you're entitled when somebody does that to be able to retaliate in a court. So I've been talking to a paralegal that worked in the Ninth Circuit Court and excuse me, the federal court, and they're willing to help both of us. We just need to write a summary report with all the information that we have, and he's going to research the case law and help us initiate a suit. Now, also one of the things is everybody says Google and YouTube are a private platform. Well, they were started with government money on government grants and all kinds of things that went on there.
They're a monopoly. They're a clear monopoly. I was just watching documentaries on Google recently. Mm-hmm. They're yeah. clear. They own the internet, essentially.
Yeah, but see, it was taxpayer money that built that through DARPA and some programs. So regardless, they're operating with a startup that's basically taxpayer funded. So there's that aspect to the First Amendment, but there's a couple side points end around to the potential. I just don't want to make just a First Amendment argument. I also want to make a 14th Amendment argument, even though it was never lawfully ratified. Long story for another show, but that's with the standing law of the land. So, okay, 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. Remember that video that you put up in a limited state? And they put it in a limited state, and then I put it up, and they struck it.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. There is no equal treatment mm-hmm. under their process, and mm-hmm. They violate rights when they do that. And corporations aren't just arbitrarily allowed to indiscriminately violate rights without check. So mm-hmm. anyway, there's that.
Right. Yeah, and there's no like trial or jury. They don't even give you an explanation on like what's in your video. Like when they give you a strike and then they delete your video and then you appeal it. And they go, oh, sorry, your appeal was denied, but they don't even say why. Like when we report things, we have to give a timestamp and show where it's at in the video, but they don't mm-hmm. do that back for us.
That's exactly right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they accuse you of things like hate speech. And here's another problem. When you take mainstream reports and people, how they feel out of their mouths, and you put it all together into one presentation without even saying a word and post it, and you get accused of hate speech, that's defamation of character. And, you know, they're engaging in this. I've already contacted YouTube on your behalf and mine. And I haven't heard back from them yet, but you know, my position is this, you know, if you're going to treat one person one way, then you must treat everyone completely equally, regardless of their political opinion. So when somebody, say, more of a leftist says something that's completely, you know, that I believe is untrue, then you're going to have to strike them too. Mm-hmm. If it's going to come to the point where you're going to have to take all atheists down, you're going to have to take all Muslims down, you're going to have to take all Hindus down. If we have any differing opinions on anything that criticize another ideology, you're going to have to take it down under the Equal Protection Clause. So I don't think that's I think if we can get this in front of a jury in the Ninth Circuit, not enough people out there know that this has been a real big problem. Mm-hmm. And if they want to utter those two words, hate speech, and that's part of why I was struck, well, then I'm going to, in that court, give them the history of where hate speech came from, which is the Soviet Union and through the Bolsheviks. And that's just the historical fact. So let me lay that out in front of a jury and see if they want to side with Bolshevism over Americanism. Let's just, you know, I would love to take that to a jury.
I don't have much confidence in the judiciary system.
I do. I'll tell you why I do. Remember that stand that we took at Mount Hoor National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon? All right, the first 17 that were charged with conspiracy to impede officers of the United States. And dude, we took that refuge armed, right? We went into court, they presented it to the jury, and the jury came back not guilty. There's the problem with courts is that they threaten you, like, and this is criminal court. Civil court's a whole nother animal. They threaten you in criminal court to the point where you're looking at such a great travesty if you're found guilty that you plea out. That's why the federal government has 90-some% conviction, because they threaten people to the point where they're scared. But if you actually take a hard stand and you throw that, the jury is still the most powerful thing that we have. And in a civil court, it's not like a criminal court where you have to, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. In a civil court, it's 51-49%, and whoever gets that 51 or over wins. And I think under the current climate of censorship, I think that a lot of people on both sides of the political aisle realize that this censorship has gotten ridiculous. So I still feel confident that if we can get in front of a jury, I could make that point. And then it would be in the jury's
Both
hands.
Sides of the aisle are in agreement that anti-Semitism is a problem. But they just point the finger at one another. The right says the left's anti-Semitic and vice versa. But
I understand. I understand.
Yeah, they're systematically suppressing the most important truths.
Yes. But I don't care what they do in these ivory towers with the stroke of a pen or not. You get it in front of the American people and in front of a jury, and all bets are off at that point if you make that presentation, because I'm telling you, what I've seen by people that have taken it all the way, who have not been, like, in criminal trials, a lot of time the prosecutor will really control it and the judge will control it. They'll instruct the jury as to how they have to find. That's really actually subverting the process. That really doesn't happen in civil court like it does in criminal court. Mm-hmm. So I think that we have a shot, and I think that we should all come together, everyone out there who has been censored or struck down for clearly not hateful speech. Send me an email at rtrtruthmedia@protonmail.com. Maybe we can get a class action going. And if we come together in numbers, that's what worked in Oregon for the trial in Oregon, was that we came together in numbers. There were 17, and they couldn't control the narrative or the jury when you have that many people coming with story after story after mm-hmm. story. It wore the jury down, and that's the way we need to do it. I think class action's the way to go.
Possibly. That's why I've been documenting all of it along the way and showing, mm-hmm. like, you know, how they're the mass flagging brigades are saying yep. to flag these videos, and then I go through and show what's in the video and that it clearly doesn't violate anything.
Mm-hmm. Criminal. It's criminal.
Yeah. So let's get into the juicy stuff that we wanted to the purpose of this video, the main purpose. Mm.
Yes.
This is your latest discovery. You posted here on Twitter, hashtag CIA documents declassified in November show it was treason for President Truman to recognize Bolshevik Israel. CIA and his advisors warned him. And here's the quote yes. from Ben-Gurion, "I am a Bolshevik."
Yep. They wear now. There's two arguments to be had, and we're having one tonight. The presentation tonight is based on the political ideology of what happened to Zionism or even the founding of Zionism by a lot of Bolsheviks. Okay, I'm going to kind of steer away from the theological aspect just for tonight, even though I know that they're intermingled, because we're going to be talking about the president, what was in front of the president, politics at the time. So if people understand that at that time, when President Truman, and this is really, this was just declassified in November, if they understand that President Truman gave an address to the nation, basically telling him this heartwarming story about how Chaim Weizmann came in and they sat down and they talked and they wore him down and he wanted to protect the Jewish people and all that. It all sounds wonderful, and it's all a pack of lies. And we can show that now in these documents that we have on this article. Now, I do believe it looks like you have the YouTube up. Do you have the RTRTruthMedia.com link to the actual document?
Not yet. Is it here in the description for the video?
It is. It is. Now, I don't know whether you want to just play the video or whether you want to actually scan down through the documents themselves.
Well, viewers can, after we finish the stream, can go and see it on your channel.
There you go.
RTR Truth Media. Okay. I'll put the link in down here in the chat, and everybody can save it for later to watch the whole thing. So why don't we do the
article?
The article, and you could explain it to us.
Yeah. Now, okay, folks, so what you understand, what you're about to see is I have been 4:30 every morning. I've been going to the CIA reading room and the FBI vaults, and I've been reading through troves of documents, and it took me the links to all of this is in the article to the CIA reading room. But, you know, people ask me, well, can you give me a link to the document? Well, I could do that if I tore the document down, turned it into a PDF, and uploaded it, but it wouldn't be at a CIA link. Now, this is one of the ways they bury documents. I had to go through hundreds and hundreds of documents to find the ones that I found, because the Presidential Daily Summary Briefing Report is based on everything that's going on all over the world every day. So you have to read through the entire thing to get to the meat and potatoes of what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So
and you said, hold on, Tom. You said at 4 a.m. you go to some archives, CIA archives?
CIA.gov, yeah.
Okay, online you do it at 4 a.m. And you're up all night doing research is what you're saying.
Well, I wake up very early in the morning, start at 4:30 a.m., and I just, because it's nice and quiet, and I sit here with my coffee, and I just read and read and read and read and scan through these. And as I'm going, I take screenshots. I save, you know, with all the URLs so that people can find these documents. They're not created documents. They're on the CIA website. This was released via FOIA in November of 2018, my findings right now. So, and it shows a completely different narrative than the one the American people was presented with. And it really is kind of, if you understand at the time we were fighting world communism, and if you were to believe that, and if you were to believe some of the rhetoric about the Soviet Union kind of being pitted off against Israel, man, nothing could have been further from the truth. Look at the first document. Scan down just a little bit. Keep going right there. The first document right here. Near East Africa. This is from 1948, CIA declassified in 10-2018. Source is the Daily Summary CIA Reading Room Library. This is the president's daily summary. And it says, Palestine, Near East Africa. Jewish emigrants, reportedly communist terrorists, U.S. military attaché Ankara transmits, redacted, a report that 80% of the Jewish emigrants currently being shipped to Palestine from Soviet-controlled Black Sea ports are communist Jews trained as terrorists and guerrillas. Now, what makes this so significant are two key factors. One factor is that nobody could leave the Soviet Union. It was called defecting, and it was a crime. You had to have state permission to leave the Soviet Union. So this was state-sponsored emigration, illegal immigration at that, and 80% of them coming were communist, and a lot of them were trained as terrorists. So another thing, another factor that's really important to this is that at the time in the Soviet Union, anti-Semitism was a death penalty offense. So what we were told was that they needed to this homeland for protection, and they were, you know, trying to run away from you know, the atrocities, and they needed a safe place. There could have been no safer place than the Soviet Union. So this whole thing, this whole idea that they had to have a Jewish Zionist state was a myth. They could have had the secular state, could have they could have created a state in Palestine or in that region that was a culmination of everyone, with no one religion controlling anyone. As a matter of fact, you're going to see that further down in these documents. The Arabs were open to that, and they even though they weren't real happy about a bunch of communists coming, you'll see in a little bit. So these terrorists, a lot of them were paid mercenaries to head to Palestine with the Irgun. Now, if people
they were funded by Bugsy Siegel too, and Mayor Lansky.
That's who I meant,
Mayor Lansky. Yeah, I was just seeing that.
Well, they all sent a lot of the Jewish organized criminals that sent money to Israel. And this was well reported on. There's no big secret to that.
Yeah.
So these mercenaries end up heading to Palestine with the Irgun. Now, the Irgun is labeled, and this is another important factor I want people to hear about. The Irgun is labeled a Jewish right-wing underground movement. Now, so when conservatives or right-wingers here in this country see, oh, the Irgun's a right-wing, well, we can get behind that. Yeah, but they're right-wing of the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. They're right-wing Bolsheviks. They're not right-wing as in limited government constitutional conservatives.
Just like the neocons and the Kagans, that's what they
say. Exactly. Exactly.
And they play both sides.
Yes, Trotskyite on one side and Marx on the other. Mm-hmm. So what's being reported as right-wing is really communist. So I added a little bit of background to the Irgun and the terrorism and a lot of the stuff, the false flag, the Levant affair, Operation Susanna, all of that stuff are in there. And then we get to the second document. Reported recruiting in Hungary for fighting in Greece and Palestine, U.S. Minister Chapin has informed by a reliable source that General Joseph Palaffy of the Hungarian army is recruiting a considerable number of volunteers to aid the Greek guerrillas. Now, Chapin adds that according to another source, recruits may choose similar service in Palestine with the Irgun. Okay, these are communists, this is great. And that a total bonus of 30,000 forints is paid to each volunteer. They call them volunteers, but they're paid mercenaries. Mm-hmm. So the Palestinian Arabs, they were getting kind of ticked off at this going on. Mm-hmm. The next document, CIA reports that the reason for the Arab anger was the communists. Mm-hmm. Now, it says here reasons for SNESNA was part of the Jewish agency, they called it. So SNE, he had to resign. According to the U.S. Consul General McAtee in Jerusalem, Jewish sources agree that the resignation of Moshe SNE from the Jewish agency executive resulted principally from the dissatisfaction among conservative elements of the executive with SNE's extremism. Okay, so what is that extremism? Conservative leaders objected particularly to SNE's close connections with various communist groups in Eastern Europe and his demands for immediate large-scale immigration from Romanian and Bulgarian seaports. To SNE's reported plan for merging the Irgun, which was the terrorist organization, with Haganah, mm-hmm. which ended up becoming the IDF, while permitting Irgun cells to continue intact with Haganah. It goes on to say that they add that SNE ordered the Pan Crescent and Pan Yorks to sail for Palestine, then resign. Meanwhile, a high official of the Palestinian government has informed McAtee that Arab anger, check this out, Arab anger over the inclusion of several thousand communists among the immigrants headed for Palestine has overshadowed the issue of illegal immigration. So the Arabs were pissed that all of these communists were coming. And we're anti-communist United States and we didn't side with anti-communists? It just goes to show that the whole narrative that the American people, that not once did you hear President Truman talk about any of these Bolshevik terrorists. Not mm-hmm. one time. He was completely dishonest with the American people. So there's that.
Yeah, it's just so well known that Israel was founded by terrorist groups. The Irgun, the Haganah, Stern Gang. They were all funded by, Rothschilds and...
And the Soviet Union.
And Soviet Union, and even from the United States, from Jewish mobsters.
Yep.
Sending weapons. Well,
we know that New York was a big part of funding Russia, mm-hmm. right? All of these, the bankers in New York and everything like that. And you have, so they fund both sides of every war. You had the Bushes funding the National Socialists in Germany.
And they were proud terrorists, and a lot of the Irgun founders, like that's where Menachem Begin came out of, and when he got reelected the Likuds in the 70s. That's mm-hmm. basically like the Irgun getting back in power again. And that's when Einstein warned about Menachem Begin and said that they're terrorists and stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now we're on to the next document, mm-hmm. which this could explain kind of the basis behind why things like Operation Susanna and the Lavon affair happen. CIA comment. I'll let people read the whole thing themselves. I want to keep this as short and to the point as possible. CIA comment. The UK will undoubtedly continue to maintain the position it took repeatedly during the last GA session, that the UK will not assist in the implementation of any plan not acceptable to both Arabs and Jews, and that it will insist on the exercise of undivided control until the termination of its mandate. So what did the Irgun do? What did the terrorists do? They try and blame the Arabs. Mm-hmm. The false flag that we know of is, as you know, the King David Hotel, the Lavon affair, Operation Susanna, and that actually went awry, so they were discovered. But this is the type of false flag terrorism that they've been doing all along. We know about the Lavon affair, but here you're seeing in CIA documents could have told you why all that was happening, and the president therefore should have known, well, we don't side or condone terrorists, right? Right. Okay.
Right, yeah.
So, all right. Next document, U.S. Urges U.K. to suspend arms shipment to Arab states. So they cut off any kind of arms to who were fighting the communists. Mm-hmm. All right. Next document. Let's see. Turkey. This is Near East Africa, Palestine. Arab states seen as fearing foreign domination. Well, what foreign domination? Soviet Union was cranking out all these communists, right? So anyway, the U.S. Ambassador Wilson reports the conclusion of former Premier Ralph Orbay, Turkey's leading elder statesman and a close friend of Arab state leaders, that the Arabs will never accept the partition of Palestine because they believe that a Zionist state unable to survive without outside support, which the United States, by the way, pumped millions and millions of redistribution of wealth. Now, conservatives, my fellow conservatives, redistribution of wealth to foreign nations is communism. You cannot argue or deny it. I hate to break through your cognitive dissonance, but if you can support that kind of redistribution of wealth, you're not a conservative, you are a communist. Get used to the title. So anyway, this support would ultimately involve the destruction of Arab independence through foreign domination. That's exactly what it's done. So according to Orbay, the Arabs do not consider current U.S. support for Zionism imperialistic, but they fear that the Zionists may eventually turn to some other major power, which would exploit the situation against the Arabs. Orbay added that the personal belief that the only peaceful solution is for the UN to declare a partition unworkable and to create a single federated state. He believes that the Arabs would accept numerical parity with the Jews in such a state, provided Jewish acquisition of land was restricted. In other words, prevent them from stealing other people's homes, and we can all get along on a single one-state solution. So there's that. Now, one of the most interesting, I think, out of this trove is the next one that we see here. It says Soviet communist Zionist terrorist at the top. All right, so the tragic spectacle, this says, of Arabs fighting Americans in the UN should send an international force to Palestine to maintain order, and D, a number of Soviet Jewish saboteurs have been apprehended in Egyptian territory. And then he concludes from the king's remarks that there is no doubt of Egypt's intention to play its part militarily, opposing them. And then goes on to say, a CIA comment, the acts of violence, sporadic rioting, and anti-U.S. demonstrations reported by U.S. representatives in various parts of the Arab world can be regarded merely as a prelude to the concerted Arab action, which at King Farouk indicates will take place after the U.K. withdraws its forces and the from administration for Palestine. These guys, so while the Arabs were fighting the communists and the U.S. was allegedly fighting world communism all over the world, we ended up taking the side of communist and Bolshevik Israel and pumping millions of dollars into a redistribution of wealth scheme, which is a communist scheme. Thank you, FDR. Thank you, Truman. Morons. And by the way, Truman, the majority of Truman's top advisors who had just won the Second World War, these were they called them the wise men. Marshall, I can't remember the other one's name off the top of my head. Uh, uh, oh, the Admiral. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All of these guys were basically telling Truman. Marshall was really upset. He was really upset. He was like, he was not with it at all. And he was called an anti-Semite. He's like, you know.
I remember hearing the story. There were some people that were telling him not to recognize the state of Israel.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he was told that if he did, he would not vote for the president. Mm-hmm. I think that he was trying to put pressure on the president not to do it. But ultimately, I think that they all knew that this was kind of treasonous to begin with. And again, if the Jews did not have a safe place to go, then one could make an argument, well, they needed a place to go, so maybe a better solution could come of it. But all of these, why were all of these communists coming from the Soviet Union and having to get not only special permission, but probably part of the agenda, sending them from the Soviet Union into Israel just to take over? Well, of course, that was a brilliant move for the Soviets, because they used, and this is why I'm separating theology from politics tonight, the Soviet Union used the identity of these terrorists, because they were Jewish, because they could send them there and get away with it. So they just infiltrated the hell out of the entire area.
But why did they need to go there if it wasn't for religious reasons?
Well, they did. That's mm-hmm. the theological end of the discussion. But mm-hmm. we're talking about primarily, and I'm not ignoring that mm-hmm. as that's not an issue. I'm keeping this to the politics because of what the American people were told were lies. And those lies were based on politics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether, you know, the President Truman, whatever, there was a lot of them involved in this that were not really crazy about Jews to begin with. Some of them were. But this was all politics, and it's my position that I think that the United States was far more infiltrated by communists on the inside, Bolsheviks on the inside, than anybody ever really understood. So mm-hmm. there's that. So the only potential peaceful position rejected by the Bolshevik Zionists, and then the land theft and the terrorism continued. So the next document here, it says general at the top of it. One state, all-inclusive government was supported by most. CIA comment, an Arab provisional government, if established, would undoubtedly contemplate a unitary state embracing all of Palestine. So now it says Arab higher committee believed willing to accept truce and were, quote, open to reason, which mm-hmm. means don't steal our land, come in naturally. It's the same thing that the conservatives are saying about the southern border. We need laws. We need, you know, mm-hmm. a process so that we're not allowing a bunch of terrorists and communists to come in here. There needs to be a vetting process. That's mm-hmm. what these Arabs were basically the reasonable, the Arab higher committee for Palestine. That's what they were saying, was that we just can't let everybody come in here because they're completely saturated with communists.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's all about when you start the clock. Like right wing ethno-staters like to support Israel now, and they go like, "Well, they should have a border, and they shouldn't let Palestine, have a vote and have a one state because Palestine would take over." But why don't they back it up to 70 years ago and say maybe these communist Bolshevik Russian Jews shouldn't be coming over and invading? That they were the migrant invasion.
Yes,
back then,
and they were a lot worse.
And the Arabs are open to reason, and they're open to real truce and negotiations. But what happens is the United States and Israel always gives them really awful deals, so they deny them, and then they go, oh, well, yeah, we offered them a deal, and they deny it every single time. But the deals are no good.
That's right. It's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who was Truman serving is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And if you scan down just a little bit more, we see that this was not only a redistribution of wealth scheme placed on the back of Americans, but it was placing American lives and property in absolute direct danger. And this is another, this was top secret. This was on the president's desk, so we knew about it. The official U.S. pipeline operations may have to be suspended. The reason says that the official states that U.S. policy on Palestine is not only affecting oil interests, but it's also creating a situation which menaces U.S. lives and property in the Middle East and is rapidly destroying constructive influence on such institutions as the American University in Beirut. So what do you call giving aid and comfort to the enemy? That's called treason in my book. We were told that the communists were endangering American lives and property. The president never said a word about it to the American people. Nobody ever said a word about it to the American people. So, you know, that's basically what I close on. And, of course, I knew that I was going to be called an anti-Shemite for saying all this, which I'm really an anti-communist in this position. And a little bit lower down, we have, of course, the same clip we've always seen from Shalomit Aloni, and the former Israeli minister. And then, just for good measure, Victor Ostrowski, a former former Mossad agent, not only, and I have to give him a little bit of credit, because in this video, he not only talks about the trick and says that you can't remove the smear of anti-Semitism once it's been laid on you, but he says it's wrong and it's immoral. So I have to give him a little bit of credit there, because at least he calls it out. But, you know, there was a period of his time, of his life, that he used this. And I don't know if you want to, it's a short clip. You might want to roll that with this one. I don't know if you've seen this one before.
I have not seen it, no.
Oh, you need to, you just roll it, dude. You need to hear this. If you can, I don't know if you can, but go ahead.
I can.
I had a record with my...
it's really quiet.
I had a record with my second book. I think my first book sold something around the world, close to 8 million copies. My second book...
His book is Little Drummer Girl, and they're making it into a movie right now. And it's all about, like, false flags and stage terror, and Bolin has referenced stuff from his book several times.
Yep.
Was not reviewed in any newspaper in North America. Now, that's a record. None. No, I'm sorry. I think the guy in the Phoenix Gazette and the people from B'nai B'rith walked in and asked for him to resign. Yeah, because he's an anti-Semite. Now, I know what they do because I used to ask them to do it. I mean, when I was in the Mossad, and we had a guy that gave us problems in the U.S., and he was speaking out, and he was talking like Pete talked once and said, Israel is bombing Lebanon with cluster bombs. We say, hey, who's that guy? You know? Pete McCackie, we used to call him. Yeah. Which is Pete the Cockroach. Because he makes a lot of noise and you can't get rid of him. So what you do is you get in touch with a guy in the station in New York or in the station in Washington. And you say, tell the guys at B'nai B'rith to label him. And of course the campaign starts, and before you know it, the guy's labeled. And he's an anti-Semite. Because that's what we say he is. And that's one stain you cannot wash. Now, it shames me as a Jew to tell you that. But that's the fact. And it's wrong. And the people who are perpetrating this don't really understand what they're doing. Because...
Oh, yes, they understand what they're doing. And so did he when he was doing it, or else he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I want to. That's a little old, though. I want to follow up with something. And this is where is it?
You got to admit, though, that's a really good clip.
Oh, that is a good clip. Yeah.
Victor Ostrowski.
This is what I want to show you, though. Okay, here we go. This is from the new Al Jazeera documentary. Talking about BDS and the anti-Semite smear.
The stuff that I shared with your group. Our hope was to really, you know, make this something that people could sink their teeth into, but no one has turned it into... No one's weaponized it, is probably the best way of describing it.
The slurs the lobby once relied on are no longer working.
Personally, I think anti-Semitism... as a smear is not what it used to be.
There we go. Anti-Semitism as a smear is not what it used to be.
That's right. Because truth is coming out, and the truth and the facts stack up against their nonsense.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, just like conspiracy theorists is wearing off a bit too. But it's their 1-2 punch, conspiracy theory. First, they call you an anti-Semite, and then when you try to respond, they say, oh, it doesn't matter what you say, that's all a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And this is why I think...
Systematic way of doing it. Go ahead.
What he said just right there, and why I think it's important, what we started off this conversation in the beginning of the show talking about, is that you're talking about the Ninth Circuit Court in your, that's your court and my court where we are. The Ninth Circuit Court would be the court to have this argument in. I think that a jury in the Ninth Circuit would not be real good for Google or YouTube. As far as this debate goes, because neither you nor I nor Jake nor Brian or anybody else is sitting here talking about hurting anybody, attacking anybody, killing anybody, or promoting violence. We're promoting information, truth, and education. And if that's a problem, then I'd be very interested to see how a jury would go on it.
Yeah, I'm not as optimistic. Oh shoot, you gotta. Okay, sorry about that noise. Okay, sorry. So let's go to the other video that you just uploaded recently. And I haven't seen this yet. I heard about it, but it is Mike Cernovich, 9/11 truth caller, stuns him to a stutter. So this is was this the GDL
yes,
affiliated?
Yes. Take that and yes. I forget her name.
This is censored?
What is?
Your video.
Are you kidding me?
You just got limited stated on this one, apparently. This is getting out of control.
I'd laugh at it now.
Isn't this just a little clip of Cernovich going like, okay, we're going to watch it anyway. We'll see what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just watch the beginning, and I added Corbett's report on the end of it.
So you show the dancing Israelis what stuns
them. Yeah.
So GDL has done this to several people before. All you got to do is just shine a little bit of light on these cockroaches, and they just freeze up, and they get triggered, and they shut down their streams. They lose it. I've seen it time and time again with so many YouTube streamers.
Yep.
Okay, so is this it? This is where it starts? Okay. Yep. All right, let's get this going.
Hey, what's going on, my friend? Long time listener. Welcome. What's going on, dude? It's funny.
I'm going back,
and with all this stuff, I'm going back in time to listen. It's like dictated Trump.
I'm going to let it buffer for a second and close some other stuff down.
Yep. I can't believe they put that one in a limited state. It's so innocuous. It's not even...
Dude, they're getting brazen with it now, man. This is the new normal. You just can't criticize... I mean, we're almost naive to think that they're just going to allow us to expose all of them. Like, when the ADL and the SPLC in Israel are Google, essentially, are all of the Silicon Valley monopoly, they all go to Bilderberg, and they're all just totally tied in with Israeli intelligence and top Jewish groups. It's no surprise that they're not going to allow us expose them on their platform, even though they're a big monopoly and they're going to squash any of their competition.
Well, if people want to see after you're done playing this, if people want to see the whole presentation without having to try and find it in the limited state fashion or however they do that, I have a BitChute channel, and it's already on my BitChute channel, so they can kiss my
I'm starting a website real soon, and I'm gonna have, I guess, BitChute links up on it, so everybody, I can get email list and do all the backup stuff I should have been doing all along. But all right, here, let's see if this will play now.
This, when you really think about the very beginning, when he was talking about Arabs celebrating at 9/11, but it wasn't Arabs, it was five dancing Israelis arrested on 9/11 celebrating and videotaping.
What? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you lie.
So many times.
No. Play it.
Hold
play
on.
It,
I've
it.
Said this before, though. So many times when somebody repeats the question or goes like, "What's that? I didn't hear that." That's their stall technique. That's a telltale sign of a lie, because they're stalling to try to think of what to say.
Yeah. I tell you what, back it up just to the beginning of that, where he talks about Trump, just a couple seconds. Okay.
And this is Mike Cernovich. He used to be a big Trump supporter. Now he's like pretending to be some centrist moderate. It's funny. I made a video exposing him as a Zionist, and he literally retweeted it and just goes, "Yeah, you're right. I'm a Zionist. I'm a total shill." So somebody called him an anti-Semite on Twitter today, and he responded and goes, "I literally schedule my documentary presentations around Shabbat."